noting verses in Proverbs, and today we're going to go to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14 and verse 14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. We're just going to note the first half of this passage today and talk about the backslider. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Exactly what is a backslider? One little boy asked his dad, he said, "Dad, what's a backslider?" And he said, "Well, son, that's a man who leaves our church and goes to another." "But, Dad, then what do you call a man who leaves the church and joins ours?" "He's a convert, son, a convert." But this matter of backsliding is really not something that we can joke about. The idea of backsliding is mentioned a number of times in the Bible. Sometimes it's called sliding, sometimes turning aside or turning back or falling. And it means exactly as it sounds, that we have made some progress and then we backslide away from that progress. In Hosea, the prophet said this. He said, "For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer." And so he pictured Israel in a agricultural way of a heifer sliding backwards. And what he's talking about here is that when farm work was being done with animals, they would hook them, two of them, into a yoke, and they're supposed to pull together, whether they're dragging a cart or plowing a field or whatever they're doing. But this heifer on one side begins to turn back or turn aside, or she just stops and or tries to back up. And, of course, it's going to hinder the progress of the work. You have to go together. And, of course, the Lord used that passage or that idea saying, "Take my yoke upon me and learn of me." And he talked about how he is meek and lowly in heart. And the fact that we are supposed to be yoked up with the Lord, pulling together to get things accomplished for the kingdom of God and for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we are in a backslidden state, we're really not pulling, and we're pulling and causing, we're actually causing problems, and we're restricting the forward movement, and it's called being backslidden. You see here in this passage that the backslidden condition is a condition of the heart. It says a backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. The common idea is that when we see someone that has gone, you know, has been in church for a while and claims to be a child of God, and then he's gone into drinking again, and he's doing drugs, and he's running around with, you know, committing fornication and adultery, we would say, well, he's backslidden. But that extreme really is not a backslidden condition, but it is that it's a dog returning to his vomit and a pig returning to the mire. That kind of person that goes back and continually lives in a state of adultery, the state of drunkenness, evidenced himself to have never been born again. But a backslidden person, what I want you to see here is that it begins with the heart, and that it is may not be so dramatic. It may be something very subtle that when we think about backslidden, let us not think about someone who once was a member of the church and now he's selling drugs, or now he's shacked up and living with a person. But let us think of more closely than that, and that is, if we are not, if we're not advancing for the Lord, and we've halted our progress in growing in the Lord, and we begin to drift backwards, then we're backslidden. And it's just it's a very subtle thing. It's a small thing. It's something that is not so evident on the outside. It's something that's not so dramatic. It's not so stark. But the backslidden of heart is a condition that slowly creeps up on you. And so when he's talking here, and when we talked this morning about being backslidden, I don't want you to just think, well, you know, I'm not shacking up, and I'm not doing drugs, and I'm not getting drunk. I'm still, you know, a pretty good person. But let us look and see, okay, was I serving the Lord in a greater capacity? Was I closer to the Lord last month than I am this month? And if that's the case, then you're sliding backwards. And so, it begins with the attitude of the heart. Proverbs says this. It says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust." And so, it's a process that's kind of gradual. It's not, you know, it's not immediately that we fall, but we're drawn away. You can see that example in David, can't you? That David, he quit going out to fight the war, and the problems that took place when David was out on the housetop, and he looked upon Bathsheba and lusted for Bathsheba, and then called her to his palace, and then committed adultery with Bathsheba. The problem wasn't there. The problem did not begin that night when he went up on the housetop. The problem began earlier in his life when he didn't discipline his life and discipline his thinking and turn from the thoughts that he had. And so when we talk about the backsliding today here, I just want you to understand that it applies to me. It applies to you. It's an idea, because we want to measure backsliding in great chunks of departing from where we were at. But as I said, if I am closer to the Lord last month than I am this month, then I'm going backwards. And that's something to be concerned about. I read a number of times or heard stories that people have wanted to put new shingles on the roof, and it looks pretty sound. And they think, well, we'll just have to get some new shingles to put on there, and the underboarding is okay. But they'll get up there, and people begin to fall through the roof, and they'll see, oh, man, there's a lot more a problem here than what we thought. And then they'd go and put some new plywood on there and fix it up. And that's kind of the way it is with the backslidden person. When you're looking at it from the outside, it looks pretty solid deep down within. But it's not. And so Solomon warns us here in this passage that the condition of being backslidden is a condition of the heart, the backslider in heart. Solomon, over in chapter 4 of Proverbs, and verse 23, a familiar verse, I could have just quoted it, but if you'll turn over there, it'll keep your fingers awake if your eyes aren't. Proverbs 4:23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And so I'm simply saying here that in the backslidden condition, the issue is the issue of the heart. And here, Solomon just really states this in a different way, but keep thy heart with all diligence, that I'm diligent about certain things in my life. I want to make sure that I'm kept up here at the time. I'm going to be diligent about paying my bills. I'm going to be diligent about paying my taxes. I'm going to be diligent about certain things. And he said, listen, there needs to be a diligence about our heart, because that comes right down to where we live. And so, long before we ever see the evidence of a backslidden person, the backsliding condition has begun in the heart. And one of these days, if it keeps going, it's going to manifest itself by boiling to the top. But there has to be something behind that was boiled to the top and everyone was astonished at. Go with me over to Psalms 78. In Psalm 78, here the writer is not David, but it's Asaph. And in Psalm 78, Asaph is reciting some history of Israel. And he does so to warn the future generations not to go down the same road and not to repeat the same unfaithfulness and the worship of gods and the overall forsaking of God and worshiping of idols. And he points out exactly what the problem is in verse 37. He says, Psalms 78 and verse 37, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. And so these things that he talks about prior to this, the sinful conditions and the attitudes against the Lord, like in verse 17, and they sin yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness, and they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. And he just goes and rehearses all of the attitudes and sinful thoughts and sinful actions. And he said, here's the problem. The problem is a heart problem. When I begin to drift backwards, it's not that I put myself in a place where I shouldn't have put myself, which I could have, but that's not the issue. The issue is the issue of the heart. And I think this Psalm 78 is very, very instructive. Let me just read a couple of things. We see it's a heart condition, and then look at verse 38. And being filled full of compassion, forgave their iniquities and destroyed them not, yea, many a time turned his anger away, and he did not stir up all his wrath. For remember that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How oft they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. And so what's promising here is that even in the backslidden condition, the condition that's described here, that their heart is not right with him, God is still in the salvaging business. That the backslidden state can be one that can be rectified. We can quit going backwards, and we can begin to draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to us. We can begin to take measures that we can begin again to press on for the mark, to the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, to again begin to go forward. But I want you to show you something here that's very sobering. He says that he's full of compassion, and he remembered that they were but flesh. But look at verse 40 and then 41. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? They turned back, a backslidden condition, and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. We may think that when we are drifting backwards that it's really it's really just a state of Christianity, and that we are up and down and up and down, and we have different cycles of Christianity. And eventually, you know, the Lord's going to conform us all to the image of Jesus Christ, and that's just part of the process. But this passage says that in this backsliding, that we limit the Holy One of Israel. Here is the Holy One of Israel, of course, is Jehovah God, who the Bible says there's nothing too hard for God. But see, here's what the issue is, what it's talking about is this. What could God have done with me if I would have continued to push forward to draw closer and closer to Him? What could God have done if I hadn't have backslidden? What was God wanting to accomplish through me that I threw a kink in the whole thing because I thought I'd arrived? You see, the backslidden state limits God. You see, the Bible says that for by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves, gift of God, not of works. And we are His workmanship, created unto good works. That God wants to take us and do something with us. And that involves a cooperation with God. He wants to use us. And I'm simply saying to you something that seems to be sobering to me, at least, is that I can limit God's work in my life. I can limit God's usefulness in my life. I can limit how God can take me as His tool and accomplish glory for Himself and blessings for people of the world. And so Asaph talked about limiting God. Now, look over also another condition and outcome of this backslidden case in Psalms 106. In Psalms 106. And verse 13. They soon forgot His works. They waited not for His counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And He gave them their request. The meat, the quail, the different things that they requested. And He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. You see, sometimes in this living the life of the Christianity and living for the Lord, we think that, you know, we want to do it our way. We think that we need this. You know, we deserve this. I deserve this. And we request God of things that we might consume it of our flesh. Lord, I want this. And the Lord says, okay, you can have it. It's kind of like, you know, when you're a little kid and when you're a big kid. I gotta have this thing. I gotta have this bike. I gotta have this toy. You know, when we were little, around Christmas time, we got the catalog from Sears catalog, and back then, when I was a little boy, they sent out just a catalog that had Christmas presents in it. Man, that thing got wore out. We'd get it about October, and man, we'd turn pages all the time looking for those. What's those? And, you know, I just got to have this toy. And we'd circle them, you know, make sure Mom would see which ones it was. And when we got it, you know, it wasn't, seemed like it didn't do what you thought it was supposed to do. And the Lord said, okay, I'm going to give you what you want, but here's going to be the result of it. You're going to have a leanness in your soul. And a backslider is not going to have a soul that prospers. There's going to come a leanness. There's going to come an emptiness. He's going to be malnourished. And if you can picture people in countries where they're starving, little kids' bellies are bloated because of the malnourishment, and their arms are just sticks, and they can hardly get up and walk. Well, that's your soul. And it comes about through backsliding. Again, back there in Proverbs 14:14, it says, Proverbs 14:14, it says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Not only does that mean he's going to do his own deal and go his own way, but it means that he's going to be filled, that it's going to affect his whole life. That you just can't begin to backslide, your heart begin to grow cold concerning the things of God, and it not affect your whole life. And if you stay backslidden long enough, there'll come a time when people will even laugh at you when you claim to be a Christian. Remember the example of Lot? That Lot, he pitched his tent. Him and Abraham split up, and Abraham knowing that God's promises are sure and God's going to take care of him, said, Lot, you choose first which way you want to go. And Lot chose the well-watered plains of Jordan. Personally, I think if you read that passage, Abraham's looking and he said, you can take to the right or you take to the left, but he didn't say you can take before me. And before him was the well-watered plains of Jordan. I don't think Abraham ever wanted Lot to choose the well-watered plains of Jordan, but he did. And he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And then he lived in Sodom. And then he sat in the gate of Sodom where the official business of the city was done. And there come a time when God comes and said, listen, Lot, this is enough. It's not going on any longer. I'm going to send judgment upon this people, and you need to get you and your family out. And so Lot was sobered. And Lot came to a place where he tried to rescue his family, and he went and talked to his son-in-laws, and this is what the Bible said. Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws. And so it affected his life. It affected his testimony. It was a result of his decisions to go backward from serving the Lord. What's some indicators of a backslidden condition? Look in Colossians 3. Colossians 3 and verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, which Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. And so the backslidden condition would be the opposite of this. If he then be risen with, if you're saved, seek those things which are above. But the backslider seeks those things which are below. And he's lost sight that God's sitting there as Christ is at the right hand of God. His affections are not on things above, but they're on the things of the earth. He begins to distance himself from God's people. Hebrews says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I found in the backslidden state that, whether it's myself or others, is that they don't really like being around dedicated Christians. And in fact, a dedicated Christian doesn't even have to say anything. Just his life is convicting, and they'll, you know, all their goody two shoes, and you know, they're religious snobs, and you don't even have to say anything. And so they begin to drift from God's people, and then they begin to conform to the world. John says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." A heart problem. "For that all is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, are not of the Father, but of the world." And so when I have a problem with the lust of my flesh and my eyes and pride in my life, then I got a problem. Okay, so what's some of the causes for backsliding? We've kind of identified what it is. What's some of the causes? Look in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." Now, this thing, evil communications, is not, we're over here and we're communicating with words. But what this means, evil communications corrupt good manners, what it's talking about is talking about spending time with the wrong people. It's talking about being around people that are not a positive thing. Bible says, "For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father." His wives affected him. People can affect you. Proverbs 13 says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." A wise man once said this, a year from now, you will be the same person you are today, except for the books you read, the movies you watch, and the people you meet." Listen, the people that you hang with affect you. They absolutely will affect you. And we're of the world. I mean, we're in this world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We can't help but working with people. But we're talking about here people that we have communication with. This idea of being together with, that we're buds, that we hang out with them. "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." And so don't tell me this morning that it doesn't matter who your friends are. Surely none of you are so simple to say that. But it does matter. It does matter who your friends are, and you need to guard who your friends are. And if you take a stand and serve the Lord, your friends are going to ferret themselves out. Let me read you a thing written by Vance Havner. During World War I, one of my predecessors at the church I pastored, Donald Barnhouse, led the son of a prominent American family to the Lord. He was in the service, but he showed the reality of conversion by immediately professing Christ before the soldiers of his military company. The war ended. The day came when he was to return to his pre-war life in the wealthy suburb of a large American city. He talked to Barnhouse about the life which his family had with his family and expressed fear that he might soon slip back into his old habits. He was afraid that the love for parents and brothers and sisters and friends might turn him from following after Jesus. Barnhouse told him that if he was careful to make public confession of his faith in Christ, he would not have to worry. He would not have to give improper friends up. They would give him up. And as a result of his conversation, the young man agreed to tell the first 10 people of his old group of friends whom he encountered that he had become a Christian. The soldier went home, and immediately, while he was still on the platform of the train station, he met a girl whom he had known socially. She was delighted to see him and asked him how he was doing. He told her, "The greatest thing that could possibly happen to me has happened." "You're engaged to be married?" she exclaimed. "No," he told her. "It's even better than that. I've taken the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior." The girl's expression froze. She mumbled a few polite words and went on her way. A short time later, the new Christian met a young man whom he had known before going into the service. "It's good to see you back," he declared. We'll have some great parties now that you're returned." "I've just become a Christian," the soldier said. He was thinking, "That's two. I'm doing 10. That's two." And again, it was a case of frozen smile and a quick change of conversation. After this, the same circumstances were repeated with a young couple with two more old friends. By the time the word got around, and soon some of his friends stopped seeing him. He had become peculiar, religious, and who knows. And they even have called him crazy. What had he done? Nothing but confess Christ. And so, you know, the backslider wants to befriend the world. But listen, he's really no friend to his, quote, friends if he doesn't tell them that they need a Savior. And so, spending time with wrong people can cause backsliding. Spending time in the wrong places, because it does matter what you see. Lamentation says, "My eye affected my heart." And the Psalms that we read this morning, "I will set no wicked thing before my eyes." Why didn't he want to set wicked things before his eyes? Because he knew that through the eye gate, the heart was affected. Many people think that they can go watch a movie or go to a beach that's full of not just half-dressed people, but three-quarter-dressed people or one-quarter-dressed people and not be affected. Well, maybe it doesn't affect you, but let me say at least it's not spiritually healthy. It does matter what you hear. It's interesting, but the rock star Gene Simmons, a number of years ago, counseled this person who was a Christian, claimed to be a Christian, to don't go into rock music, but to go into country western music, and because rock music was all about sex. Well, Gene Simmons wasn't a good counselor. He shouldn't have went into any of that music, because basically country music is pretty immoral too if you listen to the words and what it's talking about. But what you hear affects you. When God wrote to the church there at Ephesus, and he said to them, "You've left your first love." Okay, let me talk about the consequences. He hurts himself. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, that shall he reap. things return to us. What goes around does come around. If you backslide, you're going to hurt yourself spiritually. But backsliders also hurt others. I want you to go over to the book of Jonah. In Jonah, chapter 1, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man to his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it. But Jonah was gone down to the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said, Every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this is evil is upon us. So they cast a lot, and a lot fell upon Jonah. Well, let me ask you first of all, who is this guy Jonah? Well, you say, well, he's a Jew. Jonah was a prophet of God. He was told to go to Nineveh. But I would put before you that of all the people here in Joppa, Jonah was the most dangerous person to be hanging around. He was a backslider. And a backslider affects other people. He's going to affect himself, yes. He's going to affect his family. He's going to affect those of his friends. When you're backslidden, you're one of the most dangerous people to be around, because the judgment of God is going to come down upon the child of God who's truly saved. God's not going to let the backsliders continue to be in his ways. There comes a point. God is merciful, and God gives, slack. In Eastern Oregon, when we're roping calves, and you get a calf, and you dollied around the saddle horn, and the calf is choking, they yell out, cut him some slack. Well, God cuts us some slack, but he's not taking the rope off. And Jonah was a dangerous person, because when the lightning's going to fall, you don't want to be around him. Here we find that he's dangerous. But also, this backslider, he's rebuked by the world. He's asleep, and the captain here in verse 6, so the shipmaster came to him and said to him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And here the term God is God. I mean, it's Jehovah God. It's the right God. And here, that when he got on the boat, somehow they knew that he was a prophet. But it's like someone coming to me and saying, Hey, preacher man, why don't you get with it? Why don't you tell us the truth? Why don't you pray to your God? The world was rebuking the man of God. That's because he was backslidden. And here you go off to work, and people know that you're a Christian at your work, and a calamity comes into your life, and you come in there boo-hooing and crying and saying, why did God do this to me, and I don't understand this, and you're being difficult and kicking over garbage cans, And the world looks at you and says, Hey, come on, I thought you were a man of God. Well, it's a heart problem And backsliding can leave you to a place where even ungodly men will admonish you, as he did Jonah. Paul said, "My God is able." And Paul said during that great shipwreck that the Lord stood with him. Another verse in the Bible which is very sobering to me is it says that God resisteth the proud but giveth grace to the humble. And in a backslidden condition, understand that God can resist us. Listen, the only thing the Christian really has going for him, the only thing he has going for him is this: God is his God. When you boil it all down, you're not any better than anybody else physically. Morally, you are not better than anybody else. But the only thing you have going for you is what God's done in your heart, and that God is your God. But when you get to the place when God resists you, you're in a hole. And that's exactly where Jonah went, wasn't it? He set off to Tarsus, but he ended up in the deepest hole that he could end up in. In the belly of a whale. How, have you ever thought about that? Hope you're not claustrophobic. In the belly of the whale. It's not like in Pinocchio. Them old juices are grinding in there. That old stomach's, you know, squeezing, and God may put you in a very tight spot. When, you know, here's the deal. Jonah couldn't hide, and Jonah couldn't run. He'd been stuck in the bottom of the sea in a whale, backsliding. And what's miraculous is that God continued to work there. God had a problem that he wanted Jonah to take care of, that he wanted Jonah to go do, and he wanted to save the people of Nineveh. And so let me just say this, that if you're running from God, I've been there, done that, and the old saying, as I just said a while ago, you can run, but you can't hide. But if you're running from the Lord, then let me say to you, your crisis is coming. Because the Lord loves us too much to let us continue to just go backward. And it may be that we sin a sin unto death. And he calls us home because we're no longer any earthly good to a heavenly Father. But the backslidden person has a crisis coming. He hurts himself. He hurts others around him. He's a dangerous person. He's going to hurt his children. When they see us skipping out of church Sunday night or Wednesday night, they see us in the wrong places, doing the wrong things, it's going to hurt his children. And they're going to see the mockery of his life. It's going to hurt your church. The church is a body. And a part of the body that's not growing is bad. What's the cure? Well, look in Revelation, and I'll close. Revelation 22. Revelation 2, verse 1. He talks about the church of Ephesus. In verse 2, he says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. They were doctrinally sound. And has borne, and has patience. But when thy namesake has labored and has not fainted, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. What was happening here? Verses 2 and 3. Well, it was cultural Christianity. They knew how to dot the I's and cross the T's. They knew how to labor for the Lord. They knew how to keep on keeping on. But it wasn't motivated out of love. And what does he say? Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. If I examine my life today, and I see that I'm not where I used to be, I sense in my spirit a leanness of soul. Have you ever been there? A leanness of soul. What's the answer? I need to get on my face before God and repent. Asking for forgiveness. And asking to restore unto me the joy of my salvation. The backslidden state is so deceitful as it starts out. But once you start sliding backwards, you keep going. It's almost like a rock that you kick off the mountain, a big round rock. There's no round rocks in Alaska. They're all flat. You can't kick rocks off to spook moose out because where we hunt, they're all flat. They won't roll. I've tried it. But once you kick a rock off and it's sliding backwards, it gains speed. And you'll be amazed at that little heart problem, that little part of my life that I didn't surrender, that I said, no, I'm keeping this. And I begin to go backward and backward, and pretty quick, I've picked up so much speed that only destruction can happen. If you're not serving the Lord as you should, if you're not where you need to be, let me tell you that God, first of all, comes along and he challenges you. Possibly, God always challenges us. As that continues,